And now, let's turn to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local officials, residents, and personalities providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer. Moderated by Mike Malevsky.
Well, once again, it's my great pleasure to welcome into the studio George Collin. Welcome, George.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So, it's the middle of June, and last time you were in here, we were saying, well, this is a pretty good start to golf course season. Where are we now?
It's been a great start. We had a pretty nice spring. Things warmed up fairly nicely. We didn't have a lot of wind. We had just probably the right amount of rain to help the golf course and get things greened up, and the course is in fantastic shape right now. So it's been a fantastic start. We're doing good.
Now, I go by there from time to time. I usually do a bike ride through the Springer system, which is flat and easy. But I do notice people are there much of the time. And I'm thinking, okay, once again, what are the busiest times during the week, weekends, late the day, during the day? There's an ebb and flow to play, I'm guessing.
Yeah, there's definitely an ebb and flow. The busiest times during the week are about 9 a.m. to about noon. That's when we get most of the play. And we're pretty busy also at 4 o'clock as we go to our twilight hour rates, which are half-price green fees. So that brings out some of the evening golfers, after-work golfers. And we do stay open until 10 o'clock, so golfers are able to get in 18 holes if they start even probably at 6 o'clock. And if they have their own equipment, if they don't have any rental clubs or rental carts, they can stay out and play even past when the clubhouse is closed. And, so some people play till midnight, but weekends are our busiest time usually. And we have most of our tournaments are on weekends also, which makes us really busy.
So at the other end of the day, early in the morning, are there some people with their own equipment that start early and play? Or is, what happens then?
Well, our first tee time is 7 o'clock.
Okay.
And we have to allow the mowers, the maintenance crew, to get out ahead of everybody to do their work. Because if the golfers catch them too soon, then it slows them down to a point where they can't really be effective and get things done. So there is a timing issue with that. You can't start too early.
Okay. Yeah, that's good to know. In terms of mowing, when do the mowers start mowing?
We start right now at 5 a.m.
5 a.m.
Yeah, and they start cutting greens. We just started going to our walk-behind greens mowers, which are a little more precise type of mower than the triplex mower where you ride on it. And so we have three of those going at the same time, and they can cut all the greens on the golf course in about 3 hours.
Wow.
So if they start at 5, they're usually done at 8, and then they get on another piece of equipment and go mow something else like fairways or rough or tee boxes.
So a little more detail about that. Walk behind, is that because, typically a walk behind mower is smaller, less weight, et cetera, and you're saying that you can have greater control over the height of the cut, et cetera?
You do. It's just a better instrument for cutting grass a little bit finer, a little bit tighter to the ground. So if you've ever seen a PGA golf tournament or a PGA event or one of these higher end golf courses that you see like Pebble Beach where they're playing US Open right now, that's what they'd be using. They would never, you'd never see somebody riding on a mower on the greens. They're always walk mowing. It's self-propelled, but it has a roller on it. So not only does it mow, it rolls the grass at the same time. It's not like the big rollers that you use on greens to make them roll faster, but it does lay the grass down, after you mow it. And so it makes it just a better putting surface.
So my memory of being on a green is that it's almost a green carpet. There's very little nap to it. It's like,
yeah, greens can have too much grass, and that's something that we do experience from time to time where you actually have too much grass on the green. It sounds kind of funny, but when the grass gets super thick, even though you can mow it low, the ball won't roll properly on it. It bounces and wiggles when you hit putts on it. So if you want to make it roll like a pool table, you have to thin the grass out a little bit. So today we're grooming the greens also, where on our walk behind mowers, they have these grooming reels, and that lifts the grass up a little bit more, and then we can get a better cut, and it thins it out. So the first day you do it, they're a little bit shaggy, and then the second day when you mow them, they get even so much better.
Okay. So we've just had what is described as a dandelion flush. Many places have seen the first hit of dandelions. Many people cut them down, et cetera, and there'll be some more coming up later. Do you have to deal with dandelions on the golf course?
We sure do. As a matter of fact, yesterday I picked up some dandelion spray for the golf course in Anchorage. And, you know, you got to wait for the right time. They need to be to the point where they're leafed out a little bit. So when you spray the dandelion spray on them, the poison actually attaches itself to the leaf of the plant, and then it will kill it. And this spray is specific for dandelions, you know. It's not like Roundup where it kills everything. It just does the dandelions and weeds. And we have a spray rig that we use to do that, so it can do the whole golf course in a couple days.
Okay. So no hand picking in?
No hand picking. The only times we'd do anything by hand would be on the greens if we needed to get something out of a green, yeah.
So do you have any other weeds that are notable that you have to deal with beyond dandelions?
Yeah, we have pineapple grass, which is really frustrating because it's really hard to kill. And we don't have a lot of it anymore. But if you have some weak areas on the golf course, that's where the weeds will always come in, right? So if you have a bad spot that didn't survive winter, a lot of winter kill, you'll start to see things like pineapple grass, which has those little round balls on top. And it's very wiry, so it's really hard to play out of if you're playing golf.
Sure.
We also deal with clover, which is also really hard to get rid of. But it's not, clover doesn't look as bad as some of the other weeds. So you can kind of, you know, it's not as critical to get rid of the clover. And then we also deal with crabgrass and knotweed. And we do have a couple greens that get this. We didn't know what it was at first, but these two greens, 17 and 18, always get this grass or this weed called knotweed. We did a little research on it. And again, it's really hard to get rid of. There doesn't seem to be a lot of herbicide to get rid of it. So we end up, that's one of those times where we go up with divot tools and pluck them out of the green.
Okay.
And actually do it by hand.
Wow. Well, okay. Now, there are still some water areas on the course, are there not?
Yes. Well, we do have the Matanuska River running along
quite
a few holes.
The big water. Right.
Yeah. So if you hit it off over the cliff, then you're out of bounds. And then we have a couple ponds on the golf course that we don't always have them full of water because they're not lined with anything, so they don't hold water very long. So when we have some of our bigger events, like we're going to have the stadium this year, the Alaska Stadium, we have our club championship, we have the Palmer Invitational. We'll fill those ponds for those events because to maintain those ponds, the electrical bill is so high to run that pump to keep the water in them. We do have some liner that we're going to put down in one of the ponds, but it's still not enough to kind of keep water in all those ponds all the time.
So is it the cost of lining them that prevents you from going there?
Yeah, the liner is, I got some liner donated to me from a roofing company. Actually, Rainproof Roofing was nice enough to give us some that they'd removed from a building. Mm-hmm. And I should be getting some more from them. And it's basically pond liner, like sewage pond liner.
Okay.
So it's a rubberized liner made for that. So you got to lay it in, you got to glue the pieces together. And it's quite a process. So some of it's not just the money, it's time, like having enough time to get to it. Because, you know, in Alaska, everything's growing so fast, it's a constant battle.
Sure.
To keep a golf course in shape for golf. So if you pull part of your crew to go do a side project like that, it really impacts your golf course.
Okay, I can understand that. Yeah, I wondered about that because I noticed that there were areas that were obviously ponds, but without any water.
Sure.
At times, depending on it happens. And when will they naturally fill if there's, you know, we had this deluge, for example, recently. What happened to water there? Did that affect the course or fill anything, or was it just so brief that it went on way?
Well, it was, this golf course drains so quickly. The soil is very sand-based, and so we don't get water to stand very long. And we didn't get hit quite like downtown Palmer did. We got a pretty good amount of rain, but it didn't do any damage to the golf course. It soaked us pretty good, but by the next day, you didn't see a single puddle.
Wow.
That's how fast that course drains. The ponds didn't have any effect on them at all. They were just empty.
So that leads me to that interesting question, because it's so rare that we have thunderstorms, lightning and thunder here in this area. Obviously, there are other places in the world that do. What's the protocol if you have a thunderstorm coming and you're out on a course?
Well, you know, you got to watch for the lightning and, you know, the timing thing of when you hear the lightning and or when you see the lightning and then you count off how many seconds is supposed to be, how many miles away it is. And so, you know, generally if the lightning seems to be getting within probably 2 miles of the golf course, you probably want to leave the golf course or find cover, which there's not a lot of cover on a golf course. So generally you just need to get, you know, off the golf course. So you get back to the clubhouse or back to your vehicle, you know. And a lot of times when you're getting those conditions, it's also raining pretty hard. So you're right. Not going to want to be out there anyway, but, and then if it's definitely getting close, we'll get our marshal to go kind of get everybody off the golf course, and we'll make an all call on our loudspeaker, you know, system to get people to come off the golf course.
So you've played a lot of golf, and I'm guessing, I know that you've played golf here, you played at other places. When do you personally say, okay, this is not fun, I'm coming out of here? When rain, for example.
You know, for me, I played in some pretty awful conditions around, you know, all over the world, and especially in Alaska, you can get some pretty tough weather to play golf in. Generally, you know, if it's a golf tournament, you pretty much got to keep going until they blow the whistle, basically sound the horn and delay play.
Okay.
Unless you're just going to withdraw from the event, and that's up to you as an individual. You can withdraw, but you know, usually when a golf course has to close, the wind's blowing so hard that the ball's moving on the green, right? So you can't keep your ball in position. And then also with rain, when you start getting puddles on greens where you can't putt, that's another time where they'll delay play. And that's a time where if you're just out playing golf, you know, you're pretty much going to wrap it up and walk
so
off.
So specific to Palmer, which is known to have some wind from time to time, do you have any rule of thumb like you know, I would think that if there were a 40-mile-an-hour wind, this would not be a good time to be out there trying to hit a ball.
Yes, and 40 miles an hour is pretty much what the PGA Tour would use as their kind of their wind gauge for getting kind of delaying play.
Okay.
But, you know, I've played in some winds that are 40 to 50 miles an hour. They're gusting. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, it might be blowing 20, then it might gust to 50. So it's kind of one of those things you got to make a judgment call on, is it playable? I mean, if it's cold and windy, and like I said, it's up to the individual. Some people can handle it and some can't. And some people know how to play golf in the wind. It's a skill. You got to learn how to hit the ball low. Trajectory of the shot is a skill that golfers, you know, the best golfers in the world really can control their ball flight.
Okay.
And so that's important. And, you know, you're going to play in wind around the world. I mean, every place that you go, a lot of the golf resorts and stuff are along the water. They're along oceans or lakes. So
sure.
It's breezy areas. So it kind of goes hand in hand with golf.
And of course, there are places which have quite a reputation for having strong weather. Scotland, for example.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Places.
Yeah.
I'm down this road. I might as well finish. So thinking about the world's golf courses, where are the worst golf courses located in terms of likelihood to encounter difficult weather?
Well, I've never been to Scotland or Ireland, but I've heard the stories, and I believe that would probably be some of the toughest places to play golf based on the stories that I've heard of their weather conditions, you know, being windy quite a bit. It's very flat terrain along the ocean. And so, and then also Bandon Dunes, the area in Oregon, those golf courses along the coast are traditionally very windy.
Oh, yeah.
And I have some friends that have played there, and they talk about it. Like, they go in March and they play a tournament, and it's really windy a lot. And sometimes you get lucky. You know, you might be there for 3 days and it's not blowing too hard. And 20 miles an hour would probably be the lucky times on those courses. And, you know, other times you're going to play and it's going to be blowing, 30 to 40, and that's kind of more like what they're used to. So, you know, when you go to a place like that, though, your kind of mindset is that you're going to encounter that.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of more ready for it. I think when people go to a golf course and it's not traditionally windy there and they all of a sudden encounter wind and they're not ready for it, then they're kind of caught off guard more.
Okay. So the other major factor which affects me when I'm outside is the temperature. So if I'm down in a place where it's 114 degrees and the sun is blazing down in much shade, maybe Arizona, for example, that would be a difficult thing. And again, some people deal with the heat better than others. But I would suspect that that would also cause people to say, at some point, this is too hot.
Well, the most miserable times I've ever had on a golf course wasn't because it was cold and windy. It was because it was too hot.
Right.
You know, there's only so much you can do when it's hot. If it's 110 degrees, there's no really escape from it. You can't take off any more clothes to a certain point, right? When it's cold, you can add clothing.
Sure.
When it's raining, you can put on rain gear. But when it's that hot, there's, you know, it doesn't matter if you're in the shade. So typically in places like Arizona and Las Vegas, I lived in Las Vegas for 10 years. When you're in those hot places, you play really early in the morning. Out, you know, they'll let you go out usually at 5 in the morning and start and try to get off the golf course before the peak heat, which could be, you know, it could get up to over 100 degrees by 10 o'clock in the morning, you know, in places like Las Vegas and Phoenix. So, you know, I played one time in Maryland and the humidity was so high that you were soaked the whole time you were playing golf and it was miserable. So that's, I think, the worst time is to play when it's too hot.
Recently, we were able to interview some players with minors here, baseball players, and two young men from Alabama. And when we asked them to compare their time up here with down there, what did they notice the big difference? That was exactly what they looked at. They said, you know, playing in Alabama, you play ball, you're wet all the time. The humidity is such, it's that drains you. It's a joy to be up here with these dry conditions, cooler weather, and to play. So I'm going to suggest it's probably similar if you were not only with heat, not only the kind of dry heat you get in Arizona, but somewhere in Alabama, Mississippi, and so on, where I have been, where I stand and I begin dripping.
Yeah, and it's hard to concentrate when it's like that. Your golf glove gets wet. You can't keep your glove dry, and if you don't wear a glove, your hands are slippery, and it's hard to hang on to the grip of the club, and you get so dehydrated. You got to drink so much water. It took me a while to learn that when I first moved to Las Vegas. I'd grown up in Alaska, and I'd never encountered that kind of dryness, you know, and lack of humidity. So, you know, I'd go out and play golf, and I'd all of a sudden I'd just finish really bad. Every round was like double bogey the last three holes, and I couldn't figure it out. And somebody said, "Oh, you're probably dehydrated. You're not drinking enough water." So after that, I really focused on that, and it did help.
Okay. You know. Okay. Well, let's bring us back to the beautiful land here that we enjoy. Cooler weather, sometimes a little bit of wind, but it's a trade-off. And George, thank you for walking through those topics. We're not the point of saying, okay, what's going to be happening coming up at the golf course, events and so on?
Well, one thing I want to mention is that we just had a new deck put on the clubhouse. Our old deck was pretty worn out, so the city of Palmer and Palmer City Council, I want to thank all of them for helping us get that deck. Steve Rinker, he was kind of the lead on that project. He has his own decking company, and he helped put that together and did a lot of work on it. And we're also getting the clubhouse and the cart barn repainted. Wow. And that's supposed to be starting on Monday. So we should have a fresh coat of paint on the clubhouse and cart barn. So it's going to really shape the place up. It looks good. And as far as events coming up today, we have Chugiak High School football. They have a fundraiser golf tournament this afternoon. And then we have our Midnight Sun golf tournament on June 21st, next week, on Friday. There's still room to sign up for that. It's two-person teams. It's a two-person scramble.
Okay.
And then we have various events, but the next really big one is the Alaska State Amateur. It's 4 days, July 11th through the 14th. So if you're, you know, kind of more of an avid golfer and you have a handicap and you want to test your game against the best in the state, that's a good opportunity to play. And if you're, you know, if you live out here in the Valley, it's one of your local courses, so you might have a little bit of a local knowledge advantage, right. You know. And then we have our we have the Palmer Invitational Pro-Am coming up at the end of July, and that's the big Pro-Am it's the largest Pro-Am in the state. And we get golf professionals from outside Alaska to come up and play, and some of our local pros, and mostly local amateurs are playing in that also. And we have our club championship in August. You know, that's kind of, you know, traditionally more for the local people. You know, a lot of the Palmer golfers play in that. But we get even people from Anchorage that come out, golfers from Anchorage that want to participate in that. It's open to anybody. It's not just golf course members for Palmer Golf Course that, you know, get to play in it. Some golf courses or clubs only let their own members play. But this is more open, so... So those are kind of the big ones that are coming up.
Well, very good. Very good. And let's see. As I'm thinking about it, just as we finish up, we've been talking about good times to play golf, etc. Absent all the work you do that keeps you off the course itself as a player, what's your favorite time to play?
My favorite time to play is either really early in the morning or late in the evening.
Okay.
It's just the most beautiful thing when you're on a golf course. You know, when it first opens in the morning, the greens have just been cut, so they're rolling really true. There hasn't been a lot of traffic, you know, and the course is probably at its most pristine playing in the morning. The sun's coming up. You get different lighting on the golf course and different lighting on the mountains, and then the same thing happens in the evening. I mean, the course has got a little more wear and tear, obviously, when you get into the evenings,
sure.
But the lighting of the mountains and things around here in the evening is spectacular, and it's just peaceful out there. You know, at night there's a little less play. It's still some golfers out, but it's a little bit quieter, and it's just a little more relaxed golf. You don't have as many players pushing you if you're a slower player.
Got it. Okay. Mike Malevsky here with Big Cabbage Radio. We've been talking with George Collum, who runs the Palmer Golf Course. Thank you, George, for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Inside the City, a weekly chat with local folks providing up-to-date and relevant information about what's happening in your city of Palmer, moderated by Mike Malevsky. This program is a production of Radio Free Palmer, recorded at our studios in Palmer, Alaska. The views and opinions of moderators and guests do not necessarily represent those of Radio Free Palmer, the station, or its underwriters. If you have any comments or questions, please email manager@radiofreepalmer.org.